We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us right now is one of the premier baseball guys there is. He's in Las Vegas. He's not on the 10th hole right now or anything like that. No, he's in the lobby at Mandalay Bay, and he's waiting for news to break. And that, of course, is Jeff Passan. Hi, Jeff.
I'm actually sitting here getting my shoes shined right now.
Are you really?
So I am. I am. Wow. So you can. I don't know if you can hear the.
Yeah, we do hear a little bit of it. Yeah, we hear a little bit of it.
All right, it's about to start off. There we go. Now we're nice. Much better.
There you
By
go.
The way,
make sure you give the guy a good tip, will you, Jeff?
Always give good tips, Joe.
I have no doubt about that.
We're very deeply honored that in your latest Yahoo article, you referenced callers to our show. So thank you very much.
How about that?
Yes.
I honestly did that because I felt like that was my only way to get back on the air with you guys.
Stop.
Come on.
I don't know if you love me anymore after my last couple appearances.
We loved you.
Guys,
why wouldn't we love him?
Because we argue? I don't even remember because we probably
argued
about
I was going to say, usually you guys are like, Jeff, you know what you're talking about. Last couple times I've been on, it's been Jeff, what a moron.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's start it off. I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw one out there that maybe you're going to argue with us about. Ready? You ready for this?
Let's do it.
What the hell are Lee Smith and Harold Baines doing in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not going to argue with that one for one single solitary second. I gave up my Hall of Fame vote last year. And I gave up my Hall of Fame vote because I felt like Joe Morgan sending a letter out about putting performance-enhancing drug users in the Hall of Fame was just the height of hypocrisy, considering there already are guys
sure.
in the Hall of Fame who have used PEDs.
Of course.
In that trying to sanctify this place like it's some sort of church as opposed to a museum is just utterly ridiculous. But look, I enjoyed watching Harold Baines. I think Harold Baines was a good baseball player. He's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Under any definition, he is not. I mean, he is like who's the worst Hall of Famer of all time?
Harold Baines.
I mean, is it?
I mean, now he is.
Right, pretty much.
Here, let me say this. My appreciation for Lee Smith actually has grown through the years. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but Lee Smith was really good. And considering what relief pitchers do these days, guys, pitching, 60, maybe 70 innings at a time, Lee Smith averaged more than 90 innings for a decade. Like, he was a badass reliever. So, was he better than Sparky Lyle? Was he better than Dan Quisenberry? Was he better than guys of that ilk? No, probably not. But Lee Smith was pretty good. Harold Baines, no.
Yes. Now, we're in agreement. Now, here's the last thing before we get to the rumors. Do you think you would strike out Babe Ruth, too, or is that just Adam Ottavino?
You know, I'm not going to totally stand up for Adam Ottavino here. I think that he was exaggerating to make a point, which is that baseball players today are a lot better than they were 100 years ago, and he's 100% right about that.
But they also have a lot of benefits
right.
that
so
those guys
different,
didn't have.
Right, exactly.
Well, Evan, I'm not arguing with you on that. Of course they do. They have nutrition and they have equipment and they have training and they have all these things. Like, if Babe Ruth were coming up today, he wouldn't be subsisting on a diet of hot dogs and beers, and he wouldn't be swinging a bat that was 45 ounces. But I think what Adam Ottavino is saying is if he took himself present day and got back to the future to 1920, he would strike him out a lot, and I think he's 100% correct.
It's a stupid argument, though. You know what I mean? Like, okay, fine, but there's so many things that are different. What's the point of even saying that? All you're doing is just ticking people off that interpret it as you taking a shot at the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yep, like me.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, what is the point?
It's a different era. We get it. Okay, fine. What would Abe Lincoln be like in 2018? I don't know.
Hey, I mean, are we talking about it?
Yeah, I know. We shouldn't be.
That's the point.
I'm stupid. I apologize. I shouldn't have even brought it up.
No, that's why I said I shouldn't have got aggravated. This is a mediocre relief pitcher putting himself in the same sentence with Babe Ruth. It's ridiculous.
For what it's worth, he's not a mediocre relief pitcher.
He's okay.
In his career, he had one good year.
Yes, and I think he's probably going to end up in New York next year, so you guys should.
Good. So every time he blows a save for the Mets, I can rip him and say, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, I mean,
can you strike out Babe Ruth? And I will.
You can't strike out Freddie Freeman.
Let me tell you right now. This guy, if he comes to the Mets and he stinks, I will be killing him constantly about that. Constantly.
Far and away, the people who enjoyed that the most yesterday were tabloid headline writers. Because they're just waiting for the moment when he gives up a game-winning home run and says, you know, they could just go and crush him about Babe Ruth.
And I saw your article, and there's a lot of good stuff in it, and you are right about the attention the Mets are getting. The Mets have been very boring the last few years. The Mets would go to the winter meetings. Joe would say, are they even there? I'd say, what are they doing? They're doing nothing.
Right.
And Brody's done a great job of getting attention, but you have been such a great proponent of screaming and yelling about ownership and how they got to act like a big market team. And I got to tell you, Jeff, unless something happens, it's really the same old story. They're just more excited.
Oh, 100. No. 100%. But I think the premise of this column that I wrote a couple days ago was that in order to get ownership engaged and in order to get Jeff Wilpon, who I think approaches these things almost like a child, in order to get him out of that shell and get him doing what he needs to do, the first step of it is showing that the Mets can be excited. I think this is the first step of a multi-step process. And you know what? Maybe my premise there is incorrect. And if it is, it's going to be same old, same old. And there's just going to be more flash and, honestly, more disappointment because of it.
Sure.
But I think to start down the right path and get where they need to be, the Mets needed to show that they can be in the middle of everything. And they are literally in the middle of everything right now.
Yeah, but you know what? If they come up short in a lot of areas here, we're gonna rip them like we always do. You know that. I don't care how high profile they're looking to be. You know that.
So if they don't get Real Muto, are you going to rip them?
No. It's not even about that. But I got to see something happening. I got to see something major being done. They don't have to get Real Muto. I'm not sitting here pining for him. I'm one guy that's not, to be honest with you. And I'm sure so I'm not trading Syndergaard for him. I'm not doing. I was going to say
what would you like to see them do, Joe?
I want to see him sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. That's what I want. You asking me what I want to see? That's what I want to see. But that's what I want to see.
It's not happening.
Of course not.
Because
that's what
changed.
I want to see.
Because it hasn't changed. They're not
spending
like a big market.
So what makes them different
team?
Than they ever were?
But let me ask you this. What happens if the Mets go out? Don't sign Harper and Machado, but go out and have a successful year this year. Show that, you know, that they've got some substance there.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, Nolan Arenado and Anthony Rendon are on the free agent market.
Okay.
And they sign them? Or that, sign Arenado? I'd be thrilled.
Of course.
Yeah. See that to me, those fits to me make more sense. Unless you go out and trade Rosario, and of course at that point, then Machado may
make sense. I got to tell you, usually I agree. I disagree. I think that Nolan Arenado's transition out of Coors Field, though it probably won't kill him, it's still in the back of my mind. I don't want Anthony Rendon. I can't look at his face.
All he does is kill the Mets, and he'll be a guy that comes to the Mets and stinks.
Yeah, I don't want him. Bryce Harper is flat out better, and so is Manny Machado. So
right.
I disagree. I'd rather have one of those two guys.
I'm just the Rendon thing, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, that's just being an irrational fan. Yeah. I admit it. I just don't like looking at it.
I was just going to say, you're trying to make points, I'm going to give you an example.
Here's an example of Rendon. When the Mets signed Tom Glavine, I went nuts. Why are you bringing this guy here?
He was a lot older, though.
Well, he was, but here's a guy that all he ever did was kill the Mets, and then when he came to the Mets, he killed the Mets, too. So I would think the same thing with Anthony Rendon. That's what I would think.
I love you guys.
I'm a Mets fan.
I'll get specific. When the Nationals were collapsing 2 years ago in his Texan accent, Rendon's like, Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. He pulls that crap in this town. Joe's not going to like hearing that.
Oh, my God.
You're not going to like hearing that Texas drawl explaining how it's not a big deal. We'll be okay. Shut up. I'm not wrong, Jeff.
Come on.
I'm not wrong.
You know the deal, Jeff. Come on.
Boys, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Do you think, and we're talking to Jeff Passan, do you think, because there's a, it's not going to be as loud yet, but there are Yankee fans, Ernie's one of them on the other side, who's looking at this offseason, and they're very underwhelmed. They like the James Paxton trade, worth the risk, trading Justice Sheffield, but bringing back CeCe, bringing back Gardner, potentially bringing back Happ, it looks that way, is underwhelming. Are the Yankees going to do something big, or do you think this will turn into an underwhelming offseason?
I think when it's all said and done, and I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this prediction, so take this with a grain of salt. I do not have any information that concretely leads me to believe this. I just think that it lines up so well that Manny Machado is going to end up a New York Yankee.
Oh.
If I'm predicting, if I'm predicting, I think Machado goes to the Yankees and Harper goes to the Phillies.
Mm, that's great.
And
I'm sorry, Jeff. I have to leave. Probably you're probably right. That's why I'm laughing.
I just think the fit makes too much sense. It's listen, you know, on Miguel Andujar's name has been out there this week as a potential trade candidate. Miguel Andujar has been a trade candidate since like July or August, when the Yankees realized that his glove was not going to be getting any better and that there are a number of good third basemen around the league who could fit there better than him. And I just feel like you start Machado off at shortstop for Didi Gregorius when he's coming back from a Tommy John surgery, and then when Didi comes back, you move Machado over to third. And here's the thing. Machado is a spectacular third baseman.
Yes.
He's a good shortstop. He is a world-class third baseman, and that's where he should be, and that's where he is going to be long-term, I think. And the fit with the Yankees, just it makes too much sense to me for it not to become a reality.
How long do you think this drags out? Because these are obviously the two primetime players, Bryce and Manny. Is this something that goes into January and, dare I say, February?
That's interesting. I've heard a couple different schools of thought here. Now, the one that's most widely believed is that Manny Machado is going to sign sometime between now and Christmas, and that Bryce are, and it's not going to be here at the winter meetings. He's not going out and meeting with. He's going on a tour to meet with teams. That's not starting until after the winter meetings are over. And so this next week is going to be really the seminal week, I think, for Manny Machado. He's got at least four meetings, potentially, I think, up to six. And there's going to be a lot going on there. Bryce Harper would sign in that scenario after the new year because he wants to see how much Manny Machado gets, and he wants to beat it because he wants to be the highest paid player in baseball history and maybe in American professional sports history. The second school of thought is that Bryce Harper's market is not quite as strong as Machado's, and that Harper is going to push a team to make a huge splash early, and that he will sign first. I tend to go with that first scenario before the last one, but at the same time, look, A-Rod signed, I think it was December 7th, 2000 with the Texas Rangers. So the notion that Scott Boras has to take his clients deep into free agency into January into February, it's just a false premise.
Do you see anything getting done big here before you leave Las Vegas?
What's big?
Here's the thing, shocking trade. I don't know.
There are going to be a couple of trades, I think. And, it wouldn't shock me if Charlie Morton signed. It wouldn't surprise me if Nelson Cruz within the next, 24 to 48 hours signed. I don't think AJ Pollock signing. Michael Brantley might sign. Like, the, you know, for this, and listen, I'm guilty as hell of this because I think I wrote the first story on it 3 years ago saying that this is going to be the most historic free agent class in history. Nope.
Wow.
Sorry.
No.
That was the buzzer.
Like, there, I mean, there are two guys, and you could throw Patrick Corbin there, too, if you want. But
well, things changed. Just, I mean, based on, look, Andrew McCutchen was an MVP guy. He's not anymore. He signed 3 years, 50.
Totally.
Kershaw didn't opt out. Price didn't opt out. It's just a different world.
Jose Fernandez passed away. I mean, you know, there were a number of different, Jason Hayward could have opted out, too. There were a number of things. And that, you know, it's interesting how many guys didn't opt out of those deals. And you know that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are going to get opt-outs. Like, that to me is the biggest question left. How creative can teams get with these players? Like, the Chicago White Sox are clearly interested in both Machado and Harper. Are they going to make some sort of creative structure, like front-loading a deal for, like, you know, let's say they do a 300, you know, 10-year, 330 million dollar deal for one of these guys? Are they going to put 160 million of that in the first 4 years and include an opt out after the fourth year in order to get him and to get, you know, his age 26, 27, 28 and 29 season?
Right.
Like something like that.
I'd do that.
I know. You almost look at it like it's like a 4 year deal with a poison pill.
Yes. Yes.
And is that, you know, is it worth the extra $170 million in risk on the back end if the guy is hurt or if the guy just stinks? It's tough. Like, that's a tough thing to say if you're a club. But if you're the White Sox, that's almost the way you have to differentiate yourself.
Are you, and we're talking to Jeff Passan of Yahoo, and this will make sense eventually. Are you an NBA fan at all, or do you not pay much attention to that sport?
I appreciate the NBA for its pettiness, for its drama, for its marketing, and for its skill.
Okay.
I think the NBA is probably the most skilled of all sports.
All right, like, here's my I'm going to give you my NBA comparison. The NBA has done a brilliant job of making us care about free agency 2 years down the road. Like, we're planning Durant or LeBron. I want to do that for baseball for a second, because as great as Bryce Harper is and as great as Manny Machado is and as great as Nolan Arenado is, they all pale in comparison to one, and that's Mike Trout. Mike Trout is great, all right? We forget about him because he's in Anaheim, but he's great. He's just ridiculously great, and he's a free agent at the end of 2020. What the hell is going to happen? I mean, are we going to get Armageddon? The guy's going to be 29 years old. Is he going to get $800 million? Because if he keeps this up the next 2 years, I mean, he is. I'll tell you, I think Bryce is good. Mike Trout's on another planet.
Yeah, I think he's certain. Okay, you know what? I don't want to predict this until I know what Harper and Machado get. But whatever they get, I think Trout probably should get 30 to 40% more.
Wow. 30 to 40% more.
You know what, Joe?
No, I understand. I'm not saying
Alan and Queens may disagree,
well,
but it's
Alan
true.
Alan and Queens, you know.
Can I say something? And this is really important, I think.
Yes.
You know, when we're talking this money and $300 million, it seems so unbelievably absurd and ridiculous that players are getting paid this to play a game, right? But what we have to remember is players are getting a disproportionately lower cut of the revenues that are generated by the sport than they did even 10 or 15 years ago right now. The money that you're paying to go to baseball games is not going to the people you're watching on the field. It's going to the people who are giving them the laundry that they wear on their backs. And I know it's you know, It's very pro labor of me to sit here and vouch and advocate for players making more money than any of us will ever see in our lifetimes. But you know, who do you want making that money? Do you want the guys who actually go out and do something, or do you want the guys who sit in front offices with suits?
Well, when you see, here's the thing, Jeff. When you frame it a certain way, it's easy. If I ask a Met fan, who would you rather see getting paid, Bryce Harper or Jeff Wilpon? It's an easy answer.
Of course.
So when you frame it a certain way, it's, I mean,
makes it even easier.
Of course. Of course. Where does Real Muto end up?
Oh, Lord. Dodgers.
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm
Dodgers.
With you on that.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
And here's the thing. They have been asking for Cody Bellinger plus for JT Realmuto, which is hysterical because JT Realmuto straight up for Cody Bellinger is a terrible trade for the Dodgers. So once they, you know, once they back off the Bellinger ask, I think it could potentially move quickly. But here's the thing, the Dodgers have a lot of other options out there. Francisco Cervelli is available, and I don't think they're bringing Yasmani Grandal back, but he's out there. And Russell
play him. Jeff, here's the thing that just boggles my mind about Grandal, and this matters. This is not just reacting to a small sample size. The Dodgers said in the LCS and World Series, we have a better chance to win if we catch Austin Barnes.
That's what they said.
That's 100%. What they said. So why would anybody love Yasmani Grandal? You give me all the numbers you want. You give me stats all day. They benched his ass in the LCS and the World Series. Those are facts.
Those are facts. I have nothing. Look, you put those facts up against the facts of what he's done consistently for 135 games for the last four seasons. And the argument in favor, I'm not making this argument. I'm saying the argument in favor of Grandal is that he has consistently been one of the three best regular season catchers in baseball for the last 4 years. That he has power, that he walks, that he frames the ball incredibly well, and that you have those soft skills there that translate into actual value. Mm. But yeah, if the Los Angeles Dodgers are not willing to play him, that's not a good sign. That does not portend well, especially when it's Austin Barnes, who was the second baseman who got converted to a catcher.
Yeah.
Yasmani Grandal couldn't catch the ball last postseason.
That matters.
He hasn't hit the ball any postseason. 107. I think career postseason.
107.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What is he, like 8 for 77? Something like that?
with that said, all right, before I let you go, because maybe something hot's going to happen any minute here. Before, you know, you get your shoes shined yet, by the way? You done with that?
Oh my God, they look so good!
I can only imagine.
She did a great job.
Who's the?
I can see my reflection in them right now. It's beautiful.
God bless. I can envision you as like a very sharp dresser because I don't really know what you look like, but you're probably a young, pretty good looking dude. You know, you got like when I think of Jeff Passan, I think of kind of like Brody Van Wagenen type guy. You know, sharp dresser. You're a dude. You know what I mean? Like you're not walking around with like your. You know, with like lunch on your shirt.
He's not
you know
Brian
what I'm saying?
Windhorst.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Hey!
You know what I'm saying?
Hey!
I didn't say that. He said it.
That's a fellow Clevelander and maybe teammate going
Oh, this
forward.
Is passing?
Yeah. Up there.
No, you know what? He don't look like Van Wagenen.
I'll tell you what. Somebody texted me earlier this week saying, I can't get over the fact that Brody, every time I see him, I think of Putty from Seinfeld. Because he looks exactly like Putty
from
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely can see that. But I think you are right, though, Joe, in general, that Passan seems like a well-dressed guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, look, you know, Passan's not shopping at Kmart, let's be honest. You know what I mean?
I have been accused of being the best dressed baseball writer, but I, you know, that's like the tallest midget. Like it's
no, I understand. Like it's no, I, you know what? As a guy who at one time did spend a lot of time in various press boxes, you're 100. I understand exactly what you mean. I understand that. Believe me, I do.
Jeff, you're one of the best.
Jeff, before we go, who's the Mets catcher next year?
Yes, Mets catcher Grandal. Next year is
Grandal?
Wilson Ramos.
Oh, I take that. I like Wilson
Ramos. All
right,
I'm good with that. As long as he's healthy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, always a pleasure, man.
See you, boys.
See you.
Jeff Passan from the winter meetings giving us a little bit of everything. Little bit of it all.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.